You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Tuesday, April 11th, 2017, and this is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. I am your host, Greg Sussman.
That's my boy, the King, Scott Engel, holding it down today. This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman's not with us today. It's Passover. So shout out to everybody that's passing over, doing the Passover thing this morning.
Happy Pesach.
Yeah, happy Pesach. Yeah.
Happy Pesach to all.
This is my first time hearing this. Happy Pesach.
Yes.
So, okay, very good. Scott, happy Pesach.
Thank you very much.
Happy Pesach. Greg, happy Pesach. So, got that out the way. Not to say it like that, you know what I'm saying? But we're going to have a fun program here today. The Rodo Experts in the Morning for Tuesday, April 11th. I got my guys with me. Matt Medica, CTM Baseball, of course, Rodo Experts King, my man Scott Engel. And we got a lot of stuff.
Making a special appearance.
Yes, making a special appearance on...
A holiday appearance.
Yes, on his program, the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Scott,
yes,
of course.
Good to be home.
The managing director of RotoExperts.com. This is the show that we've been doing for 7 years, right, Scott?
Yes.
Now, this is not all about
good
me.
Good to be back.
I'm glad to have Scott with me. I'm glad I got my guy, Matt Medica, with me. We're going to get into a lot of stuff today. We're going to talk to Matt Medica because we got to get to know Matt Medica a little bit better. You feel what I'm saying?
I think I know pretty good so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, but the audience, you know what I mean? Especially listeners of Rodo Experts for all these years now. Now, if you've been a Rodo Experts listener for all these years, this is a special day because this is Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. That's me. This is my first time hosting the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Now, someplace Matt Deutsch is cringing right now. You know what I'm saying? Him and Rob Tuesday are huddled up trying to figure out what the hell is going on.
Can we stop this? Wait, it's not our network.
You can't stop it this time, buddy. So what we're going to do this morning is we are going to have a Rodo Experts in the Morning reunion program. So everybody out there, all the original listeners, the original bands that was down since day one with the mothership. Scott, what's the phone number?
844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879 if you want to talk WrestleMania.
So we got everything covered. We got open phone lines throughout the course of the whole show. This is the reunion program for the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Of course, obviously, we got a lot of Major League Baseball to talk about and get into today. Had some pitching performances last night we want to talk about. For one, your guy, James Paxton, Matty Moe, came through big time last night. We had a cycle. Will Myers did that. We'll talk about some of the hot bats. Also, going to talk some fantasy football. I'll do my one-man mock draft 1.0. Got some NBA stories to talk about also. James Harden. NHL playoffs start tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken, Matt Medica. So we'll look at the matchups and the pairings in the NHL playoffs.
Why?
What? Well, because... Wait a minute. Now, you say... Scott, don't sit up here and say why we're going to talk about the matchups in the NHL playoffs when you and Sean sit up there and watch the race every damn Saturday by yourselves. So there you go
We play by ourselves in the house.
Yes.
The NASCAR ratings absolutely bury the NHL ratings.
You think this is true?
This is more than true.
Okay, yes. So there you go. So we're going to get to some...
That's a plight on society, though.
We're going to get into some NHL. We got a whole... Everything that's going down, we're going to touch on it. The reunion program. Of course, we got open phone lines, 844-843-6879. Say hello to the Rodo Experts. So we don't have the original band because we're missing Adam Ronis, right?
Yeah.
Medica, you can be Ronis.
I am ponytailless.
Yes, you don't have a ponytail. You don't have glasses. You know what I'm saying?
You're not from Long Island. Yeah. You don't like pit bulls.
So
these are all true.
But you win fantasy baseball leagues.
Wait, there's no Rodo arrogance here either.
Yeah, you don't have Rodo arrogance. True, that is true too.
I am a God fearing man.
Yeah, there you go. So first of all, this is a special day.
He is God fearing.
He is. No doubt. This is
Matt
a special
Medica
day.
Matt Medica prays at night. He goes to bed. He goes,
Dear Lord, please let James Paxton do well tonight.
So I may have made that prayer once or twice. Yes.
There you go. No, it happens. I've prayed for my...
Can I get at least 8 strikeouts?
I've prayed for my fantasy teams also at times. Remember that time Roto Experts in the board and we had the it was week 16 and we had the pastor come in?
Yeah,
and he prayed and we put names in a prayer box and he prayed over the prayer box?
Yes.
That was good radio.
We might want to do that again.
We don't have to do it, but we don't have. Who's the? We got a. See, in SiriusXM, we had a pastor in house.
I'm sure there's a church around here.
Should I bring some holy water in?
Yeah, you can bring. That's a good idea. We can always use some holy water,
Corey,
in the studio.
We can find another person of God.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's plenty of people out there.
I'm willing to baptize anyone.
All right. Okay.
Apparently, Dominus Obus.
Apparently, there's a pool around here someplace. Or maybe we get Hudson this done River. In the Hudson River. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
So, reunion program on deck today. Going to have a good time. Want to talk to you, of course. Open phone lines throughout the course of the whole program. But first, we got some business to take care of. It's Scott, you've been here for a long time.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank
we
you.
Got Chris Pavona downstairs producing the program.
He's been with us for a very long time.
There you go, right there. Shout out to Chris. Shout out to Danny. Shout out, of course, big, big shout out to my man that I still chat with a lot of times during the morning, my guy, Silent Rob, Rob Phoenix.
Yes, of course.
Shout out to Adam Ronis, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
Don't listen to him, just giving him a shout out.
Yeah,
time to come
shout
home.
Out and then walk
yeah,
away.
Yeah, shout out and then come back home with the original band, the Roto Experts in the morning. Shout out to Dr. Roto, too, want to give a big get well wishes out there to Dr.
Speedy
Roto.
Speedy recovery,
what
Doc.
Happened, Doc?
Speedy recovery for Doc. He put it on Facebook, Dr. Roto had... A heart attack last week. So definitely want to
definitely
want to. He's doing well. Definitely want to wish Dr. Roto speedy recovery. We definitely are all thinking about him. Of course, before us, Angle and Sincotta, my guy Tony Sincotta. Shout out to him. Tony Sincotta been down with us for a long time. Also going back to the days when it was FP911. Shout out to the legendary Lenny Melnick. Also one of the dudes that rolled with us.
Hello.
Yep. Shout out to Greg Sussman. You know what I mean? He was a member of the Taxi Squad. Now he's a part of the program. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's a host of the program. He's the regular host of the program.
Yeah.
And listen, people out there in the audience, stop giving Greg Sussman a hard time, okay? Yes, he likes reality baking. I get it.
He likes spike ball.
He plays spike ball. Yes, he plays kickball. But Greg Sussman is a good host, and he's a passionate fantasy owner. So stop giving Greg Sussman a hard time. I love Greg Sussman. I've known Greg Sussman since he was a teenager. A very young, rich teenager. I've seen Greg Sussman struggle trying to figure out which pair of Dockers to put on. You feel what I'm saying?
WrestleMania 14 in a few minutes. What do I wear?
Greg Sussman is getting it done.
Yes, but Greg Sussman is getting it done.
And one of the genuinely nicest people I've ever worked with.
Yeah, so shout out to Lou Mayon. Shout out to Mike Cardano. The whole crew over at Anthem Media, RotoExperts.com. Of course, my guy, Nando DeFino. The reunion special going on right here. And of course, shout out to everybody that's been listening.
And what about George Kurtz, who's been a co-host, too?
Yeah. The whole weekend crew, Pat Mayo at one point, George Kurtz, Mike Blue.
He also during the week sometimes.
He did. Yeah. Mike Blewett also, shout out to him, you know what I'm saying? So definitely big, big ups to everybody. Thank you for the run. The 2014 radio program on the year board is right up there. That's in the break. I'm going to get that and I'm going to bring that down and we're going to sit that right here.
What about the skeleton? He's going to get lonely.
We may bring the skeleton because we're going to talk about some injuries that's going on too. So we're going to bring the skeleton down maybe. And we got some injuries. We'll get into that in a little bit. But first, we got to get down to business. Matt Modica. People are like, this is the reunion show. Where the hell did Matt Modica come from? What the hell is going on over here? So I met Matt Modica. I believe it was
Let me tell the truth.
Okay, go ahead, Scott. You start.
Matt Modica one day, you know, heard that we built the studio, and he said, I'll do anything to make it. So he sat here in Rockin' Riley's, and we waited for the door to open one morning, and we didn't know who he was, and he just came here and sat down, and the show started.
And he started talking good
and
stuff.
He said, turn my mic on, and Bavona didn't know who he was. He turned his mic on, and he just started talking, and he said, it's good stuff. We'll keep him.
All right, there you go right there.
Yeah.
But I met Matt a couple years ago, I believe, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It was at Tout Wars when they had it at that... At that seafood restaurant in the city?
City Crab,
City Crab. That's when I met Matt Modica, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, yo, I'm the guy at CTM Baseball be tweeting to the show. And I'm like, oh, I thought you was like a coach or something. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I thought he was like a minor league hitting instructor, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's not.
He's got that kind of look like where he could be a former baseball coach or something like that. Yeah.
Tom Emanski.
Whatever happened to Tom Emanski?
Fred McGriff took all his money.
Yeah, that's true too. Fred McGriff. Shout out to Fred McGriff. He's a fantasy football player. So Matt. So okay, where the hell did you come from, bro? So now let me not say it like that.
Rock and Riley's the
so,
bar.
So you've been playing fantasy baseball for a while, right?
That I have. I got into it actually when I moved to Los Angeles.
Okay.
I wasn't even going to do it because I was like, I mean, I always loved baseball, loved numbers, but it was actually the perfect thing for me after my Wall Street career.
Yeah.
Because I just like love numbers. I don't really like formulas and stuff like that. I'm not down with that, you know, but anything with numbers and, you know, looking stuff up, you know, that Rain Man aspect I do enjoy.
Okay, cool.
But, fantasy baseball, once I did get into it, you know.
There's no stopping.
Yeah, it was like an addiction pretty much. And
tell me about the Wall Street days. Like, you came, where'd you get your education at? High school, college education, stuff like that? Or how'd you come up, you know, make your amends?
In high school, I went to Moore Catholic on Staten Island.
Okay, very good. I went to Catholic school, too. St. Raymond's High School for boys in the Bronx. Nice. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Then,
by choice, he wanted to go to all boys.
I went to the Harvard of Staten Island Colleges, the College of Staten Island.
Nice. Staten Island. Yeah, Shout out to Staten Island.
And after that, while I was in college, I interned for a firm on Wall Street.
Okay.
And, you know, once I graduated, I gave them a call.
Yeah.
You know, I did that for like a decade. I honestly loved it. Just a note to the listeners. Don't believe everything you hear about Wall Street. There's not everybody's a crook and all that.
Yeah.
You know, these politicians try and sell you. Everybody that's got a retirement fund is pretty damn happy about the market.
About the work that you guys did down there. So how was that atmosphere getting up, going down there every morning, going on the floor? You feel what I'm saying? Because I'd have been scared to death, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, at first it's like anything else. It's a little frightening, but it was one of the most greatest adrenaline rushes one could get.
Yeah,
it was as crazy as it was. It pretty much was, you know, it was a controlled craziness once you knew what the hell you were doing.
Yeah,
you know?
once you got past
that fear, you know. And I mean, it was just a fun job, you know, getting, you know, phones ringing, you don't got enough hands to pick it up.
Yeah.
I mean, I never dealt with the public directly like that. I handled order flow that came in and all that kind of stuff. And being a sales trader, the perk I did have was I was able to take people out, go like to the top restaurants.
We had a
skybox at Madison Square Garden.
Nice.
So, you know, was at all the Knick games, Ranger games, concerts.
Okay, cool.
So, you know, that was definitely an enjoyable time.
All right. So at some point you left New York. I know you did some time in Chicago. You told me you did some time in Los Angeles. So what happened first? So Los Angeles, Chicago, I'm quite sure at some point a wife also came into play.
Yes, I met my wife in Los Angeles at Skybar. She was my waitress.
Nice.
And pretty much, I went back a couple of weeks later. I wound up with a couple of my friends. I wound up staying an extra week.
Yeah.
She came a couple of days later.
Yeah.
10 months later, we're married.
Nice,
and,
quick.
Know,
yeah.
This November will be 15 years.
Very good. Very good job. So shout out for that right there. That's part one
of
the Matt Madika. Yeah, it really is. Heck of a tip. That is part one of the Matt Madika story. So when you met, you Los Angeles Skyball, met your wife and stuff like that, had fantasy sports, in particular fantasy baseball, become a part of your repertoire yet?
No, not at that time. Mm. I mean, I did play fantasy football. I mean, everybody always played fantasy football.
Yeah.
But at that time, no. I was young, having a lot of fun, and, you know, just wasn't, you know, I still enjoyed baseball to its fullest, but I had yet to embark on my fantasy career.
There you go right there. Baseball, first love of a lot of people growing up, like their first favorite sport. Like my first favorite sport was baseball, you know what I'm saying? Like, I told you before, I don't know if you heard this, I wanted to be the third baseman for the New York Yankees. But then I was kind of like hand-eye coordination, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of tough, you know what I mean? So then I wanted to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, but I didn't really want to get hit, you feel what I'm saying? Then I wanted to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys, but then I didn't want to get fired by Jerry Jones. Yeah. So there you go right there. Scott, was baseball your first love, Scotty?
Yeah, it definitely was. It's like that what led to my journalism career originally, although officially, like basketball, like, marked the official launch. But when I was a kid, you know, it's like I wanted to pitch for the Mets. I wanted to be Tom Seaver when I was a kid.
Very good. So there you go right there.
Or John Matlack.
844-843-6879. Open phone lines. Roto Experts in the Morning. Reunion program. Whatever you want to talk about. We'll continue to get into Matt Modica's story. Of course, we'll continue to talk with Scott Angle. You know, one of the things we did that people really enjoyed, Scott, that we're going to bring back later on in the program today, slates and slabs. So we'll go through the MLB schedule. I'll tell you who's on. I'll tell you what games are on the slate. I'll tell you who's towing the slab. My experts will break it down. Got some fantasy football talk coming up on the program. Also, injuries, obviously a big part of the day-to-day aspect of playing fantasy sports. We'll discuss Buster Posey getting hit in the head and some more things when we come right back. It is the reunion program right here, the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Join the family at Modell Sporting Goods. Visit...
Back up and Adam Reunion Edition, Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, the king, stepped out for a minute. He'll be back in the seat shortly. Here he comes right now. I got my guy, Matt Modica. We're rocking till, what's that, 10 a.m. Eastern Time. We take you up to old school fantasy. That'd be me, Scott, and the blue line, George Kurtz. So there you go right there. All right, so yesterday, Major League Baseball, obviously every day. I forgot to get the damn skeleton, Scott. Can you go over there and get the skeleton for me?
Oh, now you hosting, now I'm serving.
No. I'm just asking if you can go over there and get the skeleton for me, Scott. No, you're not the gopher.
I've gone for the king to the gopher.
No, that's not the case at all, Scott. You are not the
royal butler.
But if you can get the skeleton, me bring the skeleton over here, nobody's going
to
see this.
All right, once again, I'll bring a guy to Corey.
Don't drop it, Scott. You know how clumsy you are. Hurry up. So, Matt, so yesterday, real scary moment, Buster Posey. 90, what's that, fastball coming in 97 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Almost took his dome off.
Something in the mid-90s. That's really scary. Signs seem like everything's okay, but as I think it was Brandon Crawford might have said it, one of the Giants mentioned this in the postgame, that Posey said he was feeling good, he seemed all right,
but
so did Joe Panic last year. So this is
Scott,
something that
he's
will...
He's pushing the desk back, Scott. Relax.
Will definitely need to be monitored for... look at the top two catches already in the first week.
How about that? That's crazy right there. So I don't really like to watch things like this, but I got it right here on my computer screen. So I'm gonna take a listen to it. And because it's Scott, sit down, Scott. Why'd you put the skeleton's hands on his crotch area, Scott? So damn juvenile. Sit down, Scott. All right, so Scott, this is crazy. Yesterday, our boy Buster Posey took a fastball to the dome.
Yeah, and
let me see this. Oh my goodness! Bruce Bochy
said he is fine, quote unquote, and he's going to be reevaluated today.
Yeah, no, this is scary right here because I'm looking at it right now. This is scary because you see the picture automatically is like, oh my lord, and then everybody in the stadium, very scary stuff right here. So he's probably gonna have to go through the concussion protocol for a head injury. That'd be my guess.
He's gonna have to go to the concussion protocol.
Oh man,
he's got to be reevaluated today before we find anything out.
This still looks like a concussion thing.
And
man,
like what happened with Buster Posey yesterday, I mean that was unintentional and stuff.
Yeah.
Watching the Met game last night, I fully was behind what Ron Darling said. That as Drubal Cabrera should have charged the mound. Look, I don't advocate for violence, but in life and in sports, there are certain times when you have to stand up.
Sometimes
for yourself.
You got
to
charge the mound.
And that pitcher, I guess the backstory is as Drubal hit a homer off him last year,
a walk off.
Yeah, walk, and he. He threw the ball at his head. I don't mind. Look, you want to throw at a guy? There's a way to do it. You throw
behind
from a certain point and below.
Yeah,
you don't go after somebody's head. And he had every right to be pissed, and he probably should have really went after him.
I didn't see this, Scott. So it's some beef. Who did the Mets play last night?
The Phillies.
Figures. The damn Phillies. Yeah. Always starting trouble, Scott.
Well, you know, Cabrera had a walk-off, Matt alluded to. And then they interviewed Cabrera after the game. He said, I had no idea that was the same guy.
So he wasn't even thinking about it. Yeah. Bet you have his guard up next time. All right, so Gene Segura is suffering with a hamstring injury. They're saying the hamstring is very mild. Hamstring is this area right here on the skeleton. For a player like Segura,
watching on radio.
For a player like Segura, a speed guy, you know what I mean.
You kind of stroked that skeleton.
Yeah,
good.
You saw how I did. I rubbed it like this.
A tight, experience like that.
A tight hammy could be a problem for a speed guy.
Well, that's. I mean, they said the same thing about Trey Turner, that he was only going to miss 2 or 3 days, and now he's on a 10-day DL.
Yeah.
As a Gene Segura owner, look, I'd rather see him go to the 10-day DL, even if it's mild, and then come back after that. Because I don't want to re-injure it.
Yeah, exactly. Because hamstrings can linger. You don't have to be Dr. A to know that hamstrings can linger. Thing about it is, you don't get it fully healthy. You tweak it again. You tweak it again. And it's a thing the whole season. And you don't want it to be a thing the whole season, Scott.
Proper rest is good. He's going to be reevaluated today. We don't know anything for sure yet.
Good. Reevaluations always come in handy. So, Jackie Bradley Jr., what's he dealing with? He's dealing with a knee injury. He'll be placed on a 10-day disabled list.
Hyperextended knee.
Oh, that's scary. Is he still a thing, Jackie Bradley Jr.? Because when he was coming up, it was like, oh, he was going to be this big-time player, but I feel like he's been a disappointment.
No, overall, the numbers were impressive last year. It's just he runs very hot and cold. He's very streaky.
Yeah, he's a very good MLB player, excellent defender. I guess somebody that doesn't get enough love in the fantasy community, like Scott said, he does run very hot and cold.
Yeah.
But with that team, he's somebody that...
What was his ADP?
In the 15 teams that I was dealing with, he was probably going after the 10th round. So
really?
He was a guy who 10th round or more, like you could get him. He was going like in the Cole Calhoun range, I'll say.
He's better than Cole Calhoun, though, right?
I mean, look, he probably is. But Cole Calhoun, I think, is a guy this year that's going to be pretty good.
So how are they going to replace him in the lineup, Jack Bradley Jr.?
You'll probably see more of Chris Young, I think, in the outfield.
Chris Young still playing?
Yeah.
Okay.
He could hit lefties, I'll say that.
That's his thing, huh? All right, so Baby Bomber, Gary Sanchez, he's going to be out for a month with a shoulder injury. That's unfortunate. This guy was going on a 2-3 turn in a lot of leagues. And just like that, the young man hits one home run, then he's down for a month. So I think the expectations obviously have to be reduced for the player now, right? Now, he did, when he came up last year, he was in Fuego. Maybe he gets back to that after the shoulder injury, but... I don't want to say, I think his owner's got to be like, my goodness, I paid high ADP for this dude, and now he's already out with a shoulder.
Well, it's not like you can foresee that. Both him and Trey Turner, early round, young picks here. He got off to a slow start, finally hit his first homer, and then you lose him. Look, you didn't know this was going to happen. You didn't see it coming. It happened during a practice swing. It seemed like kind of a little bit of a freak injury here, but... I think a lot of us weren't recommended to take a catcher that early anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with Scott says. Look at Buster Posey and Sanchez. Both were like freak things. And Posey got hit in the head with a fastball.
Crazy.
Gary Sanchez on a swing. So, I mean, these weren't things that happen as part of the workload and the beating you take as a catcher, which is the main reason I don't draft catchers early.
Of the thing. So, hey, let me ask you fellas this. With Gary Sanchez out a month with the shoulder injury, when you look at a player like Sanchez, young guy, do you think like him coming back from injury this early in the season is going to like take some kind of mental effect on his game when he comes back? Because obviously you want to do good right out the gate, come through big splash last year, and now it's time to really get it rolling, and boom, just like that, he's hurt.
Talking to players in the past, it's like it's frustrating for them to be on the DL. Necessarily, and it makes him that more eager to come back.
Yeah, for me, if I'm a Gary Sanchez owner, I just want him healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, having something with the shoulder, the bicep, whatever it truly is, that's a bit scary as a hitter, especially for a catcher, and he does have a cannon of an arm. The Yankees do have the luxury of the DH, even though that is a crowded spot for them right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you basically are you're hoping for health, and... He did hit, 20 homers in, less than 2 months.
Yeah, like
so
2 weeks.
There is that upside.
It's going to be tough to do it again, though.
That it is.
So, Trey Turner, another guy, early draft pick, young player, just like that, hamstring injury. What, is he on a 10-day disabled list?
Yeah, but they're indicating that there are reports that if it was still the 15-day DL, they wouldn't have put him on, and that he'll probably be ready when the 10 days are up.
Nice job, Scotty. That's when you get your research in and you're doing the updates. You know, you find out little nuggets like that. Now, Madika, you don't have Trey Turner nowhere, do you?
I don't. I just figured I'd rather get Sterling Marte in the second round or Jonathan Villar. I thought he was more of a second round player.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather get, say, a power bat or a power arm in that first round and then get the speed guy in the second round.
Good. That's what I'm talking about. Hey, so Madika. So let's back to Matt Madika. So when you left how long was you in Los Angeles?
For about 4.5 years.
How was it out there?
I mean, I actually loved it. After I stopped working on Wall Street, I tried doing wealth management for a year or two.
Yeah,
I got a health insurance and a life insurance license and all that stuff. But it wasn't my thing. My wife had an offer to go back to Skybar and manage that.
Oh, nice.
And I wanted to get into the film business, the movie business. And my brother-in-law at the time was involved with that. He actually got me an interview that got me on my first film, which was National Treasure 2.
Look at that. What were you doing?
That one, I was called the office coordinator for the transportation department.
Okay, so you made sure everybody got back and forth.
We had 30 or 40 rigs. We shot in South Dakota. We shot in D.C. It was my first time ever in D.C. That was really a fun, great experience. All the truck drivers were really cool dudes and stuff. So I got to, we were located in Burbank with the...
Oh, Disney was doing it real big,
and Universal. But like I said, we got to travel and stuff, so that was truly a fun experience.
There you go,
there. Were you with the Crips or the Bloods?
No, Scott, this is the damn movie set. What the hell are you talking about?
He said
the
he
Crips
was out in L.A.
Doesn't everybody in L.A. don't gang bang, Scott?
I'm more of I'm more of a man for the people, not of the people.
Yeah, Scott.
Okay, so he's out in L.A.
So y'all lived in Hollywood.
Yeah, I lived in Hollywood, which was, perfect for me because the studios were a mile or two away. My wife, where she worked, her commute was a mile away.
Oh, Skyball. Skyball is still a popping thing?
I believe so. I haven't been to L.A. the last couple of years. I do need to get back there.
So there you go right there, Matt Madika. We continue to learn more about Matt Madika, Scott.
Are we going to learn any about, the dark side of Matt Modica?
Oh, Scott.
E true Hollywood story.
Let's not get too personal. 844-843-6879. Roto Experts in the Morning Reunion Program. We're still waiting on... Where's my telephone at? Oh, there you go. Still waiting on your telephone calls to come in this morning. Definitely want to holler at you on this very special day.
Well, you want to holler at them.
Because we're friends, Scott.
Well, why'd you want to holler at them?
Man? We're the Roto Experts family. So, still got a lot to talk about on the program, and they got some fantasy football we'll get into for the next hour. When we come back on the other side, when we return, yesterday we had two very special opening days take place. It was opening day in the Boogie Down Bronx, home of the 27-time world champion New York Yankees. It was also opening day in the Windy City as the Chicago Cubs suffered through a rainout to raise their banner. We'll talk about some of the things that took place in their contest, and a little NBA thing I want to ask you guys about. We won't get into that too. The Roto Experts in the Morning Reunion Program continues right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, back at it. Roto Experts in the Morning Reunion Special. 844-843-6879. Get in, rock with us. All right, so the NBA season is winding down to a close, fellas. And obviously, I think the big story of this NBA season is the fact that Russell Westbrook is about to do something very historic, something I'll be honest with you, I never thought we would see done
Didn't
ever again.
Did he already do it?
Hmm?
Did he already do it?
Yes, but the season's not over yet, Scott.
Yeah, but he did it already.
Okay, I'm sorry, Scott.
Yeah.
Would you relax? Would you effing relax, Scott?
Huh? Effing relax?
Yes, man.
Kick your ass, man.
That was a very good Chappelle.
Yeah.
Holler at me.
All right, so... average a triple-double for the season. I think, hands down, without a shadow of a doubt, Russell Westbrook should be...
Nice use of back-to-back
the
cliche,
NBA.
Yeah.
Scott, you going to keep doing this?
Yeah, why not?
I think that Russell Westbrook should be the NBA's most valuable player, no questions asked. James Harden, who's also in the MVP running, thinks differently, fellas. This is a quote from Harden. I'm not going to get all in depth with that, but I thought winning was the most important thing. If you set your team up in position to have a chance at the ultimate goal, that's the most important thing. Harden's basically saying, This guy's on a 46-win team. Houston Rockets, we've won 54 games. I'm having an outstanding season also. I understand what he did was historic, but Harden is saying, listen, our team has more wins, making a case for himself to be the MVP.
Well, I think that's the case every year with, like, baseball. Like, I had no problem back in the mid-'80s when Andre Dawson won the MVP. He was on a last-place team. I mean, is the MVP the best player in the league, or is it the most valuable player for the team that makes the playoffs or wins the most games? I think that's the distinction that needs to kind of be.
Yep.
Maybe there's a separate award you give for the, you know, the
most,
like,
offensive
football
player.
Football has best offensive player. I had a big problem in baseball when guys who are not on winning teams win the MVP, or in any sport for that matter. But it's not like Russell Westbrook's team is not in a position to win. They're in the playoffs, and, you know,
but James Harden's team has a better record.
Yeah, well, he's got a better team around him, though.
Okay.
You know, it's where would this team be? They're in the playoffs. They're in a position to win because of what Russell Westbrook, and what Russell Westbrook more than James Harden.
I mean, the question I always ask, where would this team be if they had James Harden and Kevin Durant still on that team?
They shouldn't have messed that thing up.
That was like one of the, I mean, look, I really don't follow the NBA that much deeply. But that's still, to me,
they
one
had
of the worst sports decisions.
They had three future MVPs on that team in Oklahoma City.
To me, that makes even a bigger case for Westbrook, because he saw Durant go, and he really, you know, became the crux of this team more than ever.
You got an MVP vote. Mine's is going to Russell Westbrook.
Mine
I think
too.
James Harden is second. Scott, you got Russell Westbrook.
I would go Westbrook, but I would put Harden second. I mean, Harden has been tremendous as well. But what Westbrook has done is, you know, all-time greatness. I mean, like, you know, this is something that's pretty amazing. Yeah. So he should get the award.
844-843-6879. You got any commentary on the NBA's most valuable player? We're here for you. All right, so yesterday, opening day in the Boogie Down Bronx. Lovely day in the Boogie. Lovely day in the Bronx. You want to take the train up into River Avenue, go to the house that Jeter built.
That's the one that
Ruth built was across the street. They tore that one down. I love the atmosphere in the old house. The new house is kind of, ugh. You feel what I'm saying?
It's like a giant, looks like a giant public school.
Okay. Yeah. To me, it looks like it's almost
I haven't
like,
been yet, so we have to make a trip.
Oh, yeah, we gotta make a trip up there, you know what I'm saying?
That's from the outside. From the inside, it looks like a giant museum.
It's like a museum, it's like a baseball museum, where the old house was like, don't come in here with that foolishness. And the old house had ghosts in it. But the new house apparently had a ghost in it yesterday. Because what the hell was that we saw from Michael Pineda? Michael Pineda was brilliant yesterday for the most part.
Hey, I mean, that's Michael Pineda. I mean, the guy, after two game starts, 17 strikeouts, zero walks in 11 innings. Still has almost a 4 ERA, but a 2.25 whip. This is what you see from Pineda. This is why people continually go back to Michael Pineda. Now he faces the Cardinals this weekend. I wouldn't be shocked if he gives up like 6 runs in 5 innings.
Yeah.
You know, but he's a polarizing, tormenting player. I mean, it's so tough to get a handle on this guy.
That's a great way to describe polarizing and tormenting, because these two starts that you saw from Pineda is what you pretty much get. I remember a start last year, he struck out 10 and allowed 5 runs. That's Michael Pineda for you. Yesterday, the fastball was 95. The slider was real, had a real nice dive to it, to where, you know, it would just like, it would come in an eye level, and then it just, the bottom would just like fall out of it. So it looked great last, but that's Michael Pineda. He's inconsistent, and he drives you absolutely crazy because you don't know what you're going to get every time out.
Did he say anything in the post game? Well, you.
No, he could have. I did not watch the post game. I can only take so much of Michael K. You know?
No, I feel you. I agree with you on that, Matt.
But I will say, I mean, another Yankee that's really, I mean, Brett Gardner is leading Major League Baseball with 5 steals.
How about that? I saw that.
And most people like, one of my mocks.
Talk about a dollar,
like,
make you holler.
Most people, my mocks, like, he was the final pick. Most people don't expect more than 20 steals this year. They figure, like, the speed has passed him by.
Yeah, shout out to Brett Gardner, South Carolina kid.
Well, I think George French made
friend
so.
Of, friend of the program, and you can also listen to my interview with him on the Fantasy Hall of Fame Hour.
There you go.
But I think George Kurtz over the weekend was making a great point about Brett Gardner, why he's like so frustrating. Like, he'll take it'll take him so many pitches before he finally decides, and maybe this year, you know, he's just going full bore. You know, he's just going after it.
Can Mike, back to Michael Pineda. Did Michael Pineda speak English?
I mean, I believe it. I think the thing with a lot of these players is, which is understandable, is they can speak English, but they feel a lot more confident in their native tongue.
When I interviewed Pineda when he was back with Seattle, he said, I can't talk. My English is not that good.
Yeah, so I remember one time, this was in the glory years in New York Yankee baseball. I was out doing what I do. I may not have been in my correct mind state when I sat down and was watching the post game. And El Duque, one of my all-time favorite Yankees, El Duque, was at the post. This was October baseball,
well,
obviously.
He pitched really well for the Mets, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm talking about El Duque.
Yeah, he pitched really well for the Mets.
Oh, I'm talking about when he was winning championships.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. But it wasn't 1986. So anyway,
it's not like the Dallas Cowboys. Yeah,
So like I was saying, Scott, I'm watching El Duque get his press conference. So they're asking him questions, and then he starts talking in Spanish. And I'm like, maybe because I was in a different mind state, like with the Parrots, you know what I'm saying? I was like, oh my Lord, why? Where's the SAP button? You feel what I'm saying? Like, I kind of was shocked, a little bit thrown off by that. So.
I saw that when LeVon Hernandez won the World Series with the Marlins.
Yeah.
Was that when they beat the Yankees? No. It was when they won the first championship. Yeah.
All right, so yesterday, another big opening day out there at Wrigley Field in Chicago. A little bit of rain, but they finally got it done.
Nice moment. Over the top as well.
Yeah, it was over the top. Nice moment. They raised the banners in Wrigley, but okay.
Had to be.
It's kind of over right now. You feel what I'm saying? I understand it's been a very long time since between, like, the Cubs, they win championships in 108 years. Now they won. Okay, we get it. They're a very good team. Likely they're going to win again. Okay, opening day, they raised the banner, Wrigley Field, big deal. John Lester, though, 6-inning pitch, 7 strikeouts, an earned run, 1 walk. Lester getting it done.
I mean, Lester gets it done. I mean, the guy last, you know, pretty much the last decade, the last 9 years, over, you know, 190 innings every year. You know, he pretty much is going to give you the 200 innings, 200 strikeouts. Is he going to pitch to the ERA pitch the last year? I personally don't think so. I think he might pitch, you know, if he pitches to a 320, even a 330, it's still a great season if he gives you everything else. I mean, he's a warrior. He doesn't have David Ross anymore, which everybody was kind of skeptical about. Yeah. But you know what about David Ross? Seems like Grandpa Rossi, whatever they call him, seems like a very nice man, but enough of that guy already. Everything, Dancing with the Stars, they want to make a movie about his life. Can we please move on?
I had a homeboy named David Ross. Matter of fact, he lives in Chicago now, too. He does 120 sports. Your boy, Matty Mo. Scott, you good on Lester?
I think he pretty much nailed it with Lester. To me, what was interesting with the Cubs is that everybody was panicking when Chris Bryant didn't do anything in the last 4 games, and like he really picked it up over the last few days. Another big hit yesterday. Actually, if Alex Wood wants to blame somebody, besides his 5 walks, Yasiel Puig in the 3rd inning opened the gates for those 2 runs, because he was running to catch a pop-up in foul territory. It bounced out of his glove and into the stands with 2 outs. On the next pitch, Kyle Schwarber walks, and then after that, Bryant drove him in. So That Puig mishap led to the big inning.
That's normally how those things happen.
Yeah, Scott's 100% on that. I mean, he was pitching really well against a tough Cub lineup. And like,
he did walk 5, though.
But so he did, man. I know Wood is your boy, but he walked 5 batters yesterday.
Oh, no, of course. But he's also, you know, facing the Cubs is not an easy task, number one. Like Scott said, he should have been out of that inning. It cost him like another 20 pitches or so in that inning, because Bryant got the hit off the changeup. And then he had to face Rizzo, and then finally he got Zobrist out. But, you know, it took its toll. He was only going to pitch like 75 pitches, they said, anyway. So, I mean, look, that was a good game, good well-pitched game. And then, you know, the Cubs pulled it out.
All right, so another big-time pitching matchup yesterday, not a whole bunch of pomp and circumstance, was James Paxton versus Charlie Morton. Madika, you was kind of spot on with the Paxton dude. You feel what I'm saying? 7 innings pitch, walked 2 batters, gave up 4 hits, 8 strikeouts for Paxton going up against the Houston Astros, who are very good offensively.
And look, it's only two starts.
So far.
Yeah, it's only two starts. But, I mean, I'm excited. He needs to, I'm hoping there's another 30 starts in his arm this year. You know, maybe that's asking a lot. But the guy's 28. The time is now for him. Seattle will not baby him. It's not like, you know, this is a 23-year-old kid coming up from the minors. And, you know, this is his time to shine. Look, it's not going to be as great as it's been the last two starts throughout the whole season. It never is. But, you know, so far, so good, I'll say on that.
Yeah, and as far as Charlie Morton goes, he had a very interesting spring, throwing 97 and striking out a lot of batters. The strikeouts are still coming, but he allowed 9 base runners yesterday.
Yeah, they got him in that fifth. I mean, hey, look, he's a late pick, and my expectations for Charlie Morton is like a 370, 380 ERA.
Yeah.
If he can pull that out for where I got him, then I'm happy. Like you said, he's on a good team. So if Houston, you know,
he's got something new going on though, where he's giving you Ks.
Yeah, no, that's the key. The reason I was interested was the velocity uptick has stuck. But Charlie Morton's been a guy that's never been able to stay healthy neither.
All right, so also yesterday out in Kansas City, Jarrell Cotton, seven innings pitched, 6 strikeouts. He did walk 3. Yeah, this is a pretty decent start for Cotton right here.
I watched this game.
You did?
And Cotton was yesterday. He, at one point, he made a nice adjustment because he was trying to aim the ball, and you know he started walking guys, and then he got back to his groove. This guy totally kept the Royals off balance with a really good screwball, a nice cutter. Didn't have the best command, but the control was good, and he was able to raise the eye level, lower it, etc. With that screwball, when he's got it working, he's tough to hit.
Yeah, I mean, this is a promising arm for, you know, even for this year, but more for the future, in my opinion. He's going to have days like yesterday and some days like his first start. I mean, the talent is there. The changeup, I mean, I hear people like Eno Saris say it's the best pitch in baseball, the best changeup in baseball. That's pretty high praise.
It's like a screw change, sort of.
Yeah, the thing that I kind of backed off on the A's pitchers, I mean, I love Schwarmanier as well. I just think that defense is god-awful, and it's going to cost them a lot. You know,
he didn't have to rely on the defense at all yesterday.
Yeah, that was definitely a bonus.
He only gave up 2 hits, so don't have to worry about that.
It was
he walked 3 also,
day
though.
In Kansas City, too.
Why? Oh, yeah.
Donald Ventura, Eric Hosmer gave like a really nice speech.
Yeah,
you know,
sad to see
Ian
Donald
Kennedy
go like that.
Ian Kennedy pitched well, but he didn't get any support.
Well, like Scott said, Ian Kennedy did pitch well, and look, Ian Kennedy versus Chris Davis, I don't care how big the ballpark is, that's not a good matchup.
There you go, you know, right Chris. There.
It was interesting. They said they wanted Kennedy to start that game because they felt like he was the guy most equipped to handle the emotion of the afternoon.
Very good right there. So shout out to the Kansas City Royals. Also, shout out to and thoughts go out to the family of your Donald Ventura and the Kansas City Royals family. Back to the A side right quick. Matt, Sean Doolittle gets the save. This is what we're supposed to see. Because isn't there somebody else that's supposed to be in this thing too, right?
I mean, I've heard so many different things. I don't really know what to believe anymore. Maybe Scott's got some inside knowledge for us on this, but I'm really not sure. Look, it was Casilla the first couple games. I hear Madsen doesn't want to pitch tonight. I don't know if I believe that. But Doolittle, I believe, has struck out like 7 of the 11 batters that he's faced or something like that. So, I mean, I think Doolittle is the guy that they want to do it. They've already paid him to. But the problem is, can Doolittle hold up to the grind of the season at this point in his career?
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, they've already had 3 save opportunities and 3 different guys do it. Yesterday was Doolittle. Last week we saw Casilla. Now he's in the 8th inning. Ryan Dull got his crack, and he blew the save. So Dull's probably out of the mix. I think this could be a Casilla Doolittle kind of combination right now.
All right, when we come back, when we return right here on the reunion program of the Roto Experts in the morning, I want to talk about some of the highlights from the other side of the field, some of the offensive highlights. Also, want to get these matchups out the way, see what we're talking about with the upcoming NHL playoffs. Got some fantasy football talk coming up next hour also. And, of course, we wrap the show a little bit later on with Slates and Slabs. You're listening to the reunion of the Roto Experts in the morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. NHL playoffs kick off tomorrow night. I know you probably sounds awkward to hear that coming out of my voice. Talking about the NHL playoffs, but we got Matt Modica here. He's a hockey guy. He watches. You know what I'm saying? This is a sports program. So we kick it a little bit. So, the Eastern Conference, right? So we got the Montreal Canadiens versus the New York Rangers, right, Matt?
No, the Rangers are playing the Canadiens in the first round.
That's what I said.
Okay. Well, you said the Washington.
I'm sorry. The Montreal Canadiens versus
the Washington Canadiens. The Washington.
So we got the Montreal Canadiens versus the New York Rangers. So who's the higher seed here?
I mean, I think this one, the Montreal won their division. I really don't like the way the NHL has kind of like changed this playoff kind of like seeding. I
do like the background noise. This is like the one seed versus it looks like another one seed.
Yeah, they won their division. Like it's like there's three divisions now. Like the top three teams. It's kind of like weird. And there's like two wild card teams. It's kind of strange. Like Pittsburgh is playing Columbus. And it kind of seems like the NHL shafted those teams.
Yeah.
Because those teams shouldn't have been facing each other. So, in a crazy seeding that I'll call it, the Washington Capitals are the team to beat in the NHL this year. I mean, everything has lined up for them.
My Washington Capitals.
So, yeah. We got the Ottawa Senators and the Boston Bruins, the Capitals and the Maple Leafs, and the Penguins. They're good. The Penguins, they win a lot of chips against the Columbus Blue Jackets. So the Blue Jackets, they play in Columbus, Ohio.
Where are the Maple Leafs playing?
The Maple Leafs are...
They're playing the Capitals.
Yeah, and Washington's a 350 favorite. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for Maple Leafs to make the playoffs this year, it was like a really big deal.
Yeah.
That kid, okay. Austin Matthews, that they drafted, scored 40 goals. And, you know, they do have a bright future. They have a couple of nice young players, a nice core, and, you know... People in Toronto have to be thrilled just to be in it.
All right, in the Western Conference, we got the Blackhawks versus the Predators. The Predators play in Nashville. And we got the Minnesota Wild versus the St. Louis Blues. What do you think about the Minnesota Wild, Scott?
They're wild.
How do their fans root for Des Moines?
Oh, yeah. Oh, go Wild. Yeah, you betcha. We're going to win. We're going to go to the playoffs, yeah.
All right. They play the St. Louis Blues. Oh, then you got the Anaheim Ducks as a children's team. They play the Calgary Flames. Why do they have a little league team in damn NHL?
Well, thankfully, they got rid of the Mighty Ducks years ago.
Oh, okay. So it's just the Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah, it's just the Anaheim Ducks now. The Ducks are more mean looking.
Yeah. I don't know. Ducks but, don't I mean, bark, though.
In the Western Conference, I'll say this. The Blackhawks playoff hockey is somebody that lived in Chicago for 4 years.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty fun to watch. It's pretty awesome. The city gets behind that team.
Is that a hockey town or is Detroit is hockey town, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, Detroit is not going to be in the playoffs.
Oh, that's so bad for them.
They've been in the playoffs like every year for like almost like 30 years and stuff like that. So, you know, time to rebuild and stuff like that. But Detroit, Chicago... are two awesome hockey towns.
All right, so there we go right there. All right, what do we got next? Then we got we talked about Anaheim and Calgary.
San Jose and Edmonton.
And then the last one right here.
Wait a minute, isn't that your team? The Flames?
It was a good one. Then you got the final, this right here, the final one. This one right here was interesting because they was beefing on Twitter yesterday. You got the Edmonton Oilers and the San Jose Sharks. San Jose Sharks is a Bay Area team, whatever. So I think they tweeted out like a image of some sharks in the water, and they tweeted at the Edmonton Oilers, and the Oilers clapped back with some sharks getting killed. So it was going down on Twitter. So this is going to be an interesting little series right here between Edmonton and San Jose.
Yeah, this is, to me, one of the must-watch series of the playoffs. I mean, Edmonton's got Connor McDavid, who one of the supreme young talents of the game. They have some young players. The Sharks are a team... They got the bearded one, who I think is for the third year. He's the first defenseman, Burns, to score over 75 points since Brian Leach to do it like in consecutive seasons.
All right, so there you go right there. All right, so yesterday, Will Myers hit for the damn cycle. How about that?
Yeah, this was only the second Padre in history to hit for the cycle. It took 4,744 games for the first one, which was Matt Kemp in August of 2015, and only 216 for the next one.
Nice. How many games since the Mets won the World Series?
What's that? I don't know. How many times since the Cowboys have, like, won a playoff game?
Oh, okay. Good saying, all right. No, the Cowboys won a playoff game 2 years ago.
Will Myers is...
When did they win a Super Bowl? 20?
It's It's been that long.
21,
Scott.
Yeah. It's been a long
Not
time.
Not 30, but yeah. 20. Yeah.
How many Tony Romo has he played?
He hasn't had any, Scott.
No. Okay. Or Don Mattingly.
Well, quickly on Will Myers, he's off to a blazing start. Besides that cycle yesterday, you know, he's been hitting for the first week. He will steal some bases. He had a very good success rate. I mean, I don't know if he's going to steal 28, but I think 20 is very possible, and the power is real, so... He's a good player.
Yeah, he has yet to steal a base, but that's going to come. I think a lot of fantasy analysts didn't believe in the speed. I think a lot of fantasy analysts don't believe in Myers overall. Like they want to see it happening again.
I think the biggest problem for me with Myers is like last year I had him on a bunch of teams, but he was like the 12th round, and then this year you had to pay like sometimes late third, early fourth. So that was the problem that I had.
All right, so. Good for Will Myers. I'm glad to see that. Congratulations to Will Myers, San Diego Padres. But in Queens, what the hell is going on with Jose Reyes? 1-for-27 with 9 strikeouts to start the season?
Well, you know, I just try to go out there, do my job every day. You know, the funny, good. You know, sometimes you hit it. Sometimes you don't, Papi.
But right now, you don't, Papi.
You know, it's only April. You know, in September, this happened, you talk to me then.
Okay, cool, yeah. Cool.
But no, when Jose Reyes, Terry Collins, yesterday actually said, we're going to have to get a goddamn search party for the guy.
Well, Matt, what the hell is going on with Jose Reyes?
This is a problem. I was talking to Matt about this off the air. Jose Reyes is 33 years old. He's not the spark maker that he used to be at the top of that lineup. And, you know, who's going to hit the top of that lineup if Reyes can't get it done? It can't be Granderson at 36 years old, although he's done it in the past. So this is an issue. He's got to get going. Otherwise, Wilmer Flores might start steal some more time at third base here.
Yeah, everybody's anti-Met. Jay Bruce is now becoming a hero.
Look at that.
Well, look, Jay Bruce has hit 4 home runs in 7 games. Last year, it took him 29 games to hit 4.
So there you go right there. What else we got going? My guy, Bryce Harper, was 4-for-4 yesterday. Bryce Harper's blazing to start the season.
He reached base 6 times.
Wow. How about that?
Hasn't won anything. Oh.
All right, we got 1 hour of the reunion special down, of course. When we come back, we'll change subjects. Talk a little football to start. Then we got some baseball stuff to talk about also. Big, big second hour coming up right here. The Roto Experts in the Morning, the reunion program.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Two of the Roto Experts in the Morning, the reunion edition. I'm Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. That's right. I don't care how mad you get, son. Fantasy executive got along with me, my guys, the King, Scott Angle, Matt Matica, CTN Baseball,
holding it down.
Going to have some fantasy football talk coming up shortly. Also going to get into slates and slabs, break down this evening's afternoon slate right here on the big program as Sophie waves at me from the restaurant area. She's looking very lovely today, Scotty.
Yes, I get hugs from Sophie. You can get a wave.
Huh?
I get hugs from Sophie.
Well, because when you hug her, it's like, you know, it's just like a hug. When I hug her, it's like, whoa, what the hell was that?
Yeah. Why did you touch me?
No, it was like, whoa, this is that's a
little
snake.
That's little. That's a little garden snake.
All right, so here we go. Enough. Stop. This is the foolishness that got me sent to the 37th floor all the time, Scott. You're trying to start it again.
You're the one that first mentioned Sophie, not me.
She was waving at me. What do you want me to do? Huh?
I can't help it. Focus on the show.
I've been focusing on the
Roto Experts. Oh, she waving at me.
I've been focusing on the show for six years.
Will you act like you've been there before? Like when a woman waves at you, you get distracted?
Oh, stop it, Scott. Medica, I'm working on this
so
show.
So anyway, yesterday, Joe Musgrove, 7 shutout innings. Oh, look at that.
So, Medica, I'm doing this show for like 6-7 years, whatever the case may be. So, last year in 2016, right, I wasn't on the program. So they basically what happened in 2014, right? Or was that 2015? No, 2015 in August of 2015.
Chris, right before the damn season started, up here, right? Stat.
I said like something that was semi-controversial, you feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't that bad, whatever the case may be. So I got in trouble, whatever. And then it just started, the countdown started after that. And then I was off the program July, August, September. Well, I was off the program for good. You feel what I'm saying? But then I came back around in November.
You were in radio limbo for about 3 months.
Yeah, I was still doing all right, though, because Fantasy Executive not going to walk away like that. So here we go. So this is what we got. We got the reunion program.
He walks away like this.
Want to give a big shout out to all the listeners that have been down rocking with us throughout the course of the years. Guys like my man, Trucker Rob, obviously. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to him. Continue to recover and get well, Trucker Rob. Guys like Cha-Cha, who's on the damn show now, Bob in Long Island, and my man in Cleveland, my guy Joey Brown. I don't want to leave anybody, of course. Billy Hayes, the good homie Billy Hayes. I don't want to leave Bob anybody off the list.
Bob and Bruce.
Thanks to everybody that has rocked with us through the years. But of course, one of my guys right now, 844-843-6879. Only right on the reunion program. He's not listening to Adam Ronis talk trash right now. He's rolling with his friends, his homies, his Roto Experts in the morning.
Right.
My guy from New Jersey, my partner in fantasy life.
Your partner?
In fantasy life, oh. Scott. Brian from New Jersey. Brian, what's going on, my man?
What's up, Brian?
What's up, B?
What up, guys? You just got me dying this morning. That's right, Scotty. You know, partners, friends, we roll like that.
No, I thought he was talking about somebody else when he met his partner.
So, Brian, what's going on, my man? How's everything rocking this morning? Thanks for checking in on the check-in. You are a long-time listener of Roto Experts in the Morning, one of our good buddies, you know what I'm saying? Yes. How's everything going this morning?
It's going good. I was starting to wonder, what's a reunion show without me?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we roll back 6 years now. I know you was around for seven, but it took me a year to catch up.
Yep, I was there. The first day that I met you like in person and like shook your hand was the same day I met Madika at City Crab when they was doing the Tout Wars thing. Remember that?
That's an interesting day.
Right.
Look at
how that went down.
City Crab changed your life.
Well, we had a lot of fun that research season from January up to March. You know, talking a lot of crap back and forth. We had a lot of fun on the show.
Yeah, no doubt. We certainly did. And then I made that comment and it was kind of all downhill from there. But we had Tout Wars, we had research. I remember Brian listening to Matt. It might have been that same day. Me and my brother in law was coming going to the Foley's party, me and Noah. And I believe you might have been on air with Joe Pisapia.
Yes, I was on. That was my first in-studio appearance. I was on with Joe and Dan.
Yeah, so there you go right there. Dan Strappin, who you heard on the update just now.
Did Joe let you speak?
Hey, Joe is in your league, right, Brian? How's he doing so far? Because if he's doing bad, I'm going to call him out.
He's there. You know, he sneaked me on Bryce Harper, so he's rocking with it.
Okay,
he had a nice day yesterday, obviously.
Yep, big day from Bryce Harper yesterday.
You know, I'm up, where we need to be. I'm sitting second, third with the champ from last year right now. You know, I need to wake up. It's still cold. Don't forget it.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And I wanted to ask you that. You know what I'm saying? You are a very passionate player, obviously. You know, we do a lot of stuff together, and I know how you play. I know how you get down. This is a very important time of year for you. Listen, we're only a week and a half into the season. Are you looking at the standings already?
Well, you got to. I mean, you got to look at your standings every day. You got to control that ERA. You got to control the WHIP. Got to keep an eye on that batting average. Can't fall behind. You always have to pay attention. You wait too long, it's over. That's it. You know. I overdid myself this year with 16 leagues, so my eyes are basically bouncing in the back of my head.
I know you go to the Yankees a lot. What did you think of Pineda's performance yesterday? Or did just another thing of like, I remember you took me out to see Pineda 2 years ago and he had that type of performance and couldn't build on it. Is this just more teasing?
Look, man, the Yankees need a pitching coach. Nobody's looking to Grandpa when he steps on that mound. You got to get somebody in there. You need new blood. The entire pitching staff falters as the game goes on. they need somebody that these kids are going to listen to when they come out to the mail. All due respect to Larry Rothschild, he's a professional, but he's just not cutting it.
Oh, really? Brian went right straight for the coaching staff.
He did.
I know, he knows what he's talking about.
Hey, listen. If Brian can notice in spring training of February of last year that Severino dropping his shoulder, tipping his pitches on different things, how is Larry Rothschild not fixing that right away? I mean, who am I? I'm sitting there watching a bullpen session with my son, and yet your pitching coach for a Major League Baseball team can't pinpoint it? The other day when Severino fell off the mound, he didn't hear nothing that Rothschild said when he walked out to the mound. He fell apart. If you look at the box score, he didn't have a great outing. If you watch the game, he was electric, second, third, fourth, until he slipped. Closed the two-out walk, the kid fell apart. You got to give me somebody young to go out to the mound.
What about Brett Gardner stealing?
I will attack him.
What about Brett Gardner with five steals so far? Is this something we're going to see the rest of the year be?
I could only hope so, but I think if Brett Gardner stays with what Brett Gardner is doing, you're not going to see him by the All-Star break.
Really?
That makes sense, though. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, listen. This team isn't going nowhere. I mean, you guys know I'm a Yankee fan, branded on the arm, the whole nine yards. But I don't even want them to win. Give me a 500 season, something to watch. Let's rebuild a little bit more, and let's make a splash for next year. You're not going nowhere with this pitching staff.
Yeah, and especially the news of Michael Kaprielian not sounding too promising. They definitely need to get some more young arms into the system.
So there you go.
Definitely. Justice Sheffield's still a couple of years away. He ain't getting nowhere.
So there you go right there. Brian, thanks a lot for checking in on the check-in, my man. Keep rocking with the Roto Experts in the morning. Send Adam Roden a message and tell him I said he was a chump.
You got it. Well, you have to prove that in town.
Hey, you're right about that. And tell Bobby I know a guy.
A friend of a friend.
Hey, I know a guy. And you know, I was a little bit shocked. Hey, Matty, I didn't know that Matty came from Staten Island as well.
Yes, born in Brooklyn, but pretty much raised in SI.
I'm really getting, getting to like these Staten Island people, like you and him and the Impractical Jokers.
So there you go right there. Good looking out, Brian. I'll holler at you a little bit later on, my man. It is the reunion program of the Roto Experts in the morning. You want to check in on the check-in, 844-843-6879 is the telephone check-in number. Now, you know I got to talk a little fantasy football. So I have my first one-man mock draft. Of course, Scott, you know we've been doing these one-man mock drafts for years. I got the fantasy executive.
Yeah, you do a lot of stuff solo. Yeah.
One-man mock draft for my very first one. This is one fantasy exec, one-man mock draft 1.0. When I'm done here, Bavona, you cut this up, throw this on SoundCloud, tag me in it on the Twitter, you know what I'm saying? And this way, it could be out there for the masses. So obviously, I'm going to hop right into this right now. Obviously, I got the Holy Trinity at running backs at the top with David Johnson, Lev Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott. I think that is consensus. I think.
In what order?
Huh?
In what order?
Right now, I have Johnson, Bell, Zeke. If you have Zeke, Bell, Johnson, my thing is with these three, you can take a name out of a hat. I think that David Johnson is probably the one that's going to be the most productive, especially in the PPR, because what he can do as far as catching the football and how much of a percentage of that offense he is. If you are in a standard, I like Ezekiel Elliott number one.
I agree with you. The one thing is, like, Bell could easily be number one, but I have to rank him ahead of Zeke because I haven't seen any durability issues from Zeke yet. And no, look, you know, there's been certain things that Zeke's have done off the field that people have questioned, but he hasn't gotten any real trouble
yet.
He
hasn't gotten arrested. I mean, not arrested. But he hasn't gotten in trouble for smoking pot.
If we even call that equal, like a draw, like off field between Bell and Zeke, there's no durability issues with Zeke, so I got to go with Zeke second.
Well, I mean, if you gave everybody a full season of 16 games, then it's Le'Veon Bell for me. Right. And I love David Johnson for what he did for me last season, you know, in the NFFC. But I just can't trust Bell, one, to not smoke the weed. And, you know, it's not his fault. I mean, he has suffered a couple of really serious injuries. But like he showed you last season in 12 games, what he did in 12 games was
phenomenal.
Damn awesome.
If you had him on your team, you likely you won the championship because I think that was either week 14 or week 15.
Week 13 was when he really went off because I was playing somebody week 13.
So, yeah.
I can't draft Bell until I know that he can safely care for a parrot.
Very good, yeah. Scotty.
Right. All right,
so at number,
nice bow in that.
At number four, I go back. I go to wide receivers. I got my man Antonio Brown. Number five, I go Odell Beckham. At six, I go Mike Evans.
I don't think I have a big problem with that.
I agree, but I also think, you know, I'm not saying he is, but I think Evans is in the conversation with Odell.
I think.
Wait a minute. You said four or five was.
I got four Antonio Brown, five Odell Beckham, six Mike Evans. If you want to go Mike Evans at five, I have no problem with that.
And I think the addition.
Deshaun Jackson.
Yeah, of Deshaun Jackson. I think that helps Evans more. And look, the Giants are going to pass a ton. There's plenty of passes to go around. But I think, if anything, that's going to take just a little away from Odell. I mean, Odell could be the number one player if he lives up to everything that he, you know, that God has given him.
All right, so that's my that's the next three. So that's Brown, Beckham, and Evans. I'm up to seven. At seven, I'm going to have this guy ranked higher than everybody else. I'm just telling you that right now. I'm going to give you my next three. Seven, I have T.Y. Hilton. Eight, I have A.J. Green. Nine, I have Devonta Freeman.
Yeah, I don't think I could put Hilton quite that high. I feel like A.J. Green's such a big part of his offense. I like Hilton, but you know, I don't even know if he's in the first round, to be honest with you.
And I think Hilton is a first-round talent, and I agree with Corey that, you know, this is the year we're probably going to see an even bigger step. The whole thing is with Andrew Luck and his health.
Yep.
That's the one caveat. Yeah. He's got, you know.
He could be there, but I feel like I know A.J. Green's going to be there.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm going to go with A.J. Green ahead of him, but I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the season.
I think I got to put Jordy ahead of T.Y. too.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Jordy for the touchdowns.
Is, okay, no, I'm not disagreeing with any.
You know, I mean, but you know, I think the guys Corey's is mentioning, like Devonta Freeman. I mean, if you haven't believed now, I don't know what you're waiting for. So
at seven, I got T.Y. Hilton. Eight, I have A.J. Green. And at nine, I have Atlanta Falcon running back Devonta Freeman. I think a big year. I don't care about Coleman. Freeman does too much catching the football. You saw how he was running during the Super Bowl. I still think I think Devonta Freeman is locked solid into the first round.
And Coleman's still going to get his. That's the thing. But Freeman, as long as he makes the most of every touch and he continues to be the goal line guy, you can have two running backs coexist there and one still be a first round pick.
Yeah, touchdowns are king.
Yeah, you go right there. At 11,
no,
I have.
I'm king.
At 11, I have New Orleans Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas. No, excuse me. At 10, I have New Orleans Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas. At 11, I have San Diego Chargers running back Melvin Gordon. And then at 12, I have Atlanta Falcon all-world wide receiver Julio Jones. My first round does not include Jordy Nelson. My first round does not include LeSean McCoy. Those are two players. Listen, I love Jordy. I'm not on Shady at all. I love Jordy, but I'm not on Shady. We're going to talk about Shady a little bit later on in the program. Also, matter of fact, next segment on the way back. So that is my 12 right there. David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Green, Devonta Freeman, Michael Thomas, Melvin Gordon, and Julio Jones. Going to continue to talk a little bit more football when we come back on the other side. But right now, we got to get ready to pay some bills, hit the break, take a pause from the calls. When we come back, we'll talk about these running backs, because if you got that three, that Holy Trinity at the top, well, then it's going to be hard to find other backs. We'll discuss that when we get back right here on the Roto Experts on the morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Whoa.
All right, so here we go. Back up and at 'em. Talk a little fantasy football. Slates and slabs coming up. Get you ready for another night of DFS baseball. We're going to look at the nighttime slate, the evening games. Always fun. I believe we got some Colorado action tonight, too.
We got Jared Weaver on the
pump. We got Jared Weaver. Weaver in Colorado. It's going to be 200 to nothing.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate, how should I say, Coors Field. Like, I think Rocky's going to be like 100% owned tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a big night for that, of course. We'll begin to break that down a little bit later on in the program. Right now, I want to continue talking a little fantasy football. Obviously, like we said last segment, fellas, you got the big triple-headed monster at the top. The holy trinity of fantasy running backs with Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, and Ezekiel Elliott. At the back end of the first round, I like guys like Devonta Freeman, and Melvin Gordon. Scott, I think an interesting player that I do not want fantasy owners to make a mistake on this year is LeSean McCoy. I think LeSean McCoy outplayed his ADP last season. The system with Anthony Lynn was a big part of it, that ground and pound. He was excellent last year. I don't have a repeat performance from LeSean McCoy. I like him better, Scotty, in 2017 as an RB2 without Lynn. I think they want to pass the football more. Shady's offseasons always kind of throw me off. Sometimes he's a little bit too big for his britches. Put it like this. If LeSean McCoy is one of my boys, right? If my homeboy called me and was like, yo, we going out, smoke some hookah. LeSean McCoy is coming with us. Shady rolling with us. I'd be like, yo, I'll holler at y'all another time.
I can't see him taking a drop to an RB2. I think LeSean McCoy is immensely talented. Maybe the best cutback runner in the NFL in terms of making people miss. Can still be versatile. Still be a big part of that offense because you don't have a guy that you want to like rely on so too much at a time to be throwing the football, although he's very mobile and he's very versatile. I think you want to bump him out of first round, fine. RB2, I don't agree. I think he's still way too talented to be an RB2.
Well, I think there's a wild card player here. I really don't get what the Bills are doing. As a Bills fan, I never really understand what their actions are. But Mike Gesicki, he's a guy that they put a fifth-round tender on, which I thought was kind of stupid. That should have been a higher thing.
Okay.
Now, is he coming back to Buffalo? There's rumors that he might reunite with Anthony Lynn in San Diego. So where he goes, I think, would be very interesting. I still like Shady, but I agree with Corey. I think the Bills are finally going to move into the 21st century and start throwing the ball a lot more. The run game was very good last year. It was best in the league.
Yeah, it was.
And, I mean, their overall offense might have finished like 8th or 9th, but once again, 17 season without a playoff.
So, if you're not coming out of draft day in 2017 with either one of the big three, you're not coming out of the draft with either one of the big three, Melvin Gordon or Devonta Freeman, I think it's going to be, in my opinion, trouble finding an RB1. Now, of course, the NFL draft still has to shake out. We got to see where pieces fit and land and stuff like that. And you could see a guy like a Fournette or a Cook advance and become a running back one. But from what we know right now, I'm taking Shady off my board as a one. So I'm more than likely not going to have him.
All right, so give me 12 running backs you would rank ahead of LeSean McCoy then.
Obviously, you got the big three at the top, right?
Right.
Then you got Gordon and Freeman, right?
Okay.
Now, is some guys that, like I said.
Would you put Jordan Howard ahead of him?
I would put Jordan Howard ahead of him.
How many is that? Five?
That's six.
I would put Carlos Hyde ahead of him.
I couldn't do that.
I think Carlos Hyde has a lot of talent.
Hyde is talented, but he can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
But Shady's on a better team. I couldn't do that.
I think Carlos Hyde is going to be a part of a better offense with Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco.
With who at quarterback and what's surrounding him?
I like Kyle Shanahan's system. Kyle Shanahan coaches offense very well.
He doesn't have any players yet.
I feel what you're saying. Alfred Morris had a tremendous season with him. We just saw Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman have great seasons with him.
Look, I'm with Modica. I like Carlos Hyde, but there ain't no way I'm taking him over LeSean McCoy.
I get that, and I respect that opinion. And after that, I'll be honest with you. I really don't know. I'm just not in on Shady.
But that's why I want one of those other backs. You got to give me 12 guys.
I'm not drafting him as an RB1. If he's on my team, he's
going to
be a 2.
Are you going to rank him in your preseason ranks as an RB1?
I would have to rank him as an RB1, yes.
Okay, so he is an RB1.
Then. He's an RB1, but he's a player.
But you're not going to draft him.
I'm going to pass on him. To clarify that. Yeah. So now, let me ask you about a couple of other intriguing names. One of them being Jay Ajayi. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know where I'm at on Jay Ajayi. 1,200-yard season, but half of those 1,200 yards came in 3 games. I think the Dolphins they saw more success last year when they were running the football. I do think Ajayi has workhorse mentality, but I just don't like the whole thing about Ajayi and the Dolphins. Kind of scares me. He's going to be a guy that's going to be going in the middle of the second round. Scott, would you be comfortable starting a fantasy team with Mike Evans and Jay Ajayi?
I would probably pass on Ajayi in the second round. I'd like him as a third rounder. I know the consistency wasn't there, but I think this kid's only going to get better. I really like him. He's very physical. He breaks tackles. He's got terrific vision. He's got good balance. He gets his uniform dirty. He doesn't shy away from contact. I think Jay Ajayi is only going to get better, and that leads to more consistency.
So then why not take him in the second round?
Because if I'm in that spot, I'm probably going to go two wide receivers in the first round.
I feel what you're saying. What do you think, Matt?
If I had to split it up like a wide receiver, say we're going to do wide receiver, running back, and I got my wide receiver, I think I'd rather have Jordan Howard over Ajayi for the reasons that you said. And Scott makes a good point. Look, the kid could get – he could even take that next step. If he does, then I'm wrong. But I kind of feel more – comfortable with Howard.
I would love to get two wide receivers and be early in the third round and get Ajayi as my RB1. Then I'd be comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that I think is so important with fantasy football. I think every league should have it, is that third round reversal. I think that's the fairest way to go. And like you say, there is, like, if you get the David Johnson, I mean, David Johnson helped myself, helped a lot of people win a lot of leagues.
Yeah.
You know,
but to have David Johnson and two other top 25 players, it's kind of like you're in the catbird seat.
Yeah, that's what to me, or even like a Le'Veon Bell who plays that 16 games, you get that second pick or the first pick, however you want to play it, Ezekiel Elliott with that line and stuff. So I think that's the fairest way to do it. That's my opinion. That's how I feel. But, you know, I know some people don't like it, but I do.
All right, so the next running back I want to talk about and discuss right here is Carlos Hyde. Obviously, I've already said it. I like Shanahan's offense when he does run the ball. I think Carlos Hyde is a talent that's still waiting to explode. I understand injuries have been a problem. Do I want to go into a season with Carlos Hyde as my one? Not necessarily.
Well, where do but I if I go Carlos to, Hyde?
If you can, if I let's just say I have the fourth pick in the draft. And I start Antonio Brown, and I come back in a second, and let's say I take an Amari Cooper. On that 2-3 swing, I don't mind Carlos Hyde as my first running back.
Okay, look, I get what you're saying, but like Scott said, who's he got around him? That's the other concern that I have, is like, I totally agree with the Mike Shanahan. Want Shanahan back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's usually a winning formula. It's just, are they there yet? You know, what are my options come that turn? I haven't gotten that invested yet. Though I will start with the draft coming up and, you know.
What do you think, Scotty? What do you think about that right there? Brown, Cooper, Carlos Hyde as the one.
I don't like Carlos Hyde as my one.
Okay.
I'd probably go a third wide receiver before I took Carlos Hyde as my one.
But there's no back on the board. Scott, there's very few backs out there.
Let me go zero running back then. I mean, look at Carlos Hyde. The problem with Shanahan is he doesn't play quarterback. He doesn't play wide receiver. There's twofold problems with Carlos Hyde. Number one, health. Number two, that passing game is going to be so mediocre. How often is he going to be into position to finish off drives with touchdowns? I don't think a lot. Right now, you got Brian Hoyer throwing to Bruce Ellington and Pierre Garçon. I can't have him as my RB1.
I can dig it. I understand that. I'm willing to take the shot on that. Now I want to ask you, this is the last running back, and then we'll get back to some fantasy baseball talk as we get ready for Slates and Slabs, take a look at tonight's action. I don't think I'm going to have very many, or it would be very limited shares, of Houston Texans running back Lamar Miller in 2017. I understand he's a workhorse. I get that he's a lead dog. He's even going to catch you a couple passes a season also. He just doesn't do it for me, though. Nothing is exciting to me about Lamar Miller.
Well, Houston in general right now, until I know who's quarterback in that team, I'm very hesitant. You know, I think they got, I mean, from Hopkins to, I think Braxton Miller could make a huge step this season. He got that first season under his belt. He's a talent. He wasn't utilized nearly like he should last year. So they have some talented players there. I just don't know who's quarterback. I think that's going to make a critical decision. That's a critical piece to my decision with the Houston Texan players.
If I don't get one of the top nine running backs as my RB1,
you would go with Miller.
I'm not feeling that confident, to be honest with you. I could do any of these guys. The big three,
yeah.
McCoy, Howard, Gordon, Ajayi, Freeman, even DeMarco Murray. When I start getting into Todd Gurley, Carlos Hyde, Mark Ingram, CJ Anderson, and then it gets worse, Spencer Ware, Robert Kelly,
Isaiah Crowell. Why I think we got to get our backs early in 2017.
I agree with you.
But you see, you mentioned the guy, though. I'm not really on Murray. I'm not. I'll be honest. I'm not really on Murray like that. I think
I like him less in Minnesota than I do in Oakland.
I like
Murray less in Minnesota than I do in Oakland.
He's talking to Latavius.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Latavius. I was talking about DeMarco.
Yeah.
So, all right. So,
but do you think that they get a run? Like you mentioned this before, Corey. You think they just get a? This is like the final year, right? They just get a run.
I think they're going to punish him. I think the team has an option after this year, and I think they're going to make good use of that option. Scott, you mentioned the running back though. Go read those names because you mentioned somebody that was intriguing to me. Say them those. Go back to the top. Todd Gurley. I think Todd Gurley's a winning play. I'm always down to buy last season's trash. And I think Todd Gurley in the second, in the mid to late second, I think that's a winning. I think Todd Gurley bounces back.
Here, again, it's a Carlos Hyde situation. The quarterback is worse than he was in San Francisco. Who's he going to throw to? That team's not going to move. They're very easy to defend.
This is a new offense with Mike McCoy. As the OC.
What position is he going to play?
Mike McCoy is going to put the strategy in place.
With who? What players?
Oh, and Mike McCoy is not. It's not with the Chargers. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, what's the Los Rams. Angeles Rams? Yeah. The Los Angeles thing, it messes me up.
But I do think getting Fisher and starting over and
exactly.
all that.
I think that's a good thing for Gurley.
We've seen the talent when he first came in.
Yeah.
It wasn't like they had a robust offense, and the guy was doing great things. Last season, if you took him, you got killed.
It happens.
It was pretty much game over.
Do you know right now, if we started the season today, it would be Jared Goff throwing to Robert Woods and Tavon Austin.
Still,
how is this offense going to move?
I think the new scheme and new system in place is going to do a better job.
All right,
I get it.
What is the scheme?
I get it.
Get 22 blockers for Todd Gurley.
All right, we'll see what happens. We'll see how it plays. I still got plenty of time to talk fantasy football. When we come back on the other side, I do have one last football note to get to, and then we'll get ready to break down the slate for today's action. There is a baseball game in Colorado with the Rockies going up against Jarrett Weaver. We'll probably start right there when we continue right here on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Rocking with Roto Experts in the morning. Reunion special. Fantasy executive. Finally made it. Mama, I made it. Getting ready to get into some slates and slabs, but I got
that's very good.
One last football note. You know, I did my first my fantasy league auction earlier in the week. It got finished. We got wrapped up. I think I bought Freeman. I'm gonna pull it up right quick. I bought Freeman and Gordon as my two RBs.
Let me get my microscope.
I think I bought Hilton, Cam Meredith, and some other people. But what I find most intriguing about this process, and I think it's going to be something that we have to discuss with fantasy owners before we get to start drafting fantasy football teams. I didn't pay for Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley in this football auction, $200 cap, went for $27. Discount, right?
I think that's about accurate.
Rex Burkhead. New England Patriot running back went for $25.
What?
I mean, it was pretty high, but I mean, I understand
PCP in this draft.
I mean, it all depends who's going to be the other running back. Are they going? Is Adrian Peterson going to end up there? That doesn't sound likely. Does what's his name come back?
That's LeGarrette Blount. Yeah,
you have other talents.
The latest report said he's not going to sign with them.
But you still have the other talents there, too, in James White and...
Deion
Lewis, thank you. I mean, Deion Lewis, when he's on the field and healthy, is pretty electric, in my opinion.
Rex Burkhead has a fifth-round ADP in early My Fantasy League 10s.
I couldn't do it. Like Matt just said, there's other running backs there. If the season started today, I would expect that to be a full-blown committee.
Exactly. I understand.
You know, you're basically at the mercy of Bill Belichick.
Yeah, yeah. The Patriots and games playing Pacific, like, he might say, oh, this style of back works better against this defense. You never know from week to week.
Be very careful of Burkhead. Is nothing more than like an average New England Patriot running back that you never be able to figure out when the game goes. He could play a lot of special teams also. Is he going to have value at points throughout the season? Are you going to be happy he's on your team? Yes, you will, but not at a fifth round price tag.
He might end up being the Chris Hogan of running backs.
There you go. That's what I think.
Though, yeah. If he did get a substantial role, I think he could really thrive.
If he gets a substantial role.
He's a guy that, you know, he's pretty much been in the back, you know, yep, for everything. But if he did get a role, a significant role, then I think
what New England running back have we ever seen gotten this?
I'm agreeing
with you. But since Corey Dillon,
I'm just saying if that role was ever presented to him, then yeah, I would be.
And don't say to me, "Hey, freaking Blunt scored 18 freaking touchdowns
from
last year."
2 yard line.
You're skid. It's like he still wasn't a regular running back. We haven't had a regular running back of any sort in New England since Corey Dillon.
All right, let's go ready to rock and roll. Slates and slabs, getting ready for tonight in the majors. Gentlemen, of course, we start with a happy Harvey Day. We have Matt Harvey and the New York Mets at Philadelphia taking on Clay Buchholz and the Philadelphia Phillies. The Mets are -125 as the favorite. 8 runs are projected to be scored in this game. I start with you. Anything stick out? I'm sorry, Matt. I was looking at you, but I didn't say your name.
You, it does.
I'm still going to be a little hesitant with Harvey. You know, I like what I saw that first start. It's in Citizen Bank Ballpark, so I'm still, like I said, I'm optimistic, but I'm cautiously optimistic. Start one was good. Let's see how start two goes.
What do you say, Scotty?
Harvey gave up a lot of fly balls in Citi Field in his first start. I don't think he's going to be able to get away with that in Citizens Bank tonight. So, actually, if you're playing daily, I like Cameron Rupp at $3,100. On the Mets side against Clay Buchholz, right now, Jay Bruce, we talked a lot about him this morning. He's got 4 home runs in 7 games, including 2 last night. Last year, it took him 29 games as a Met to hit 4 home runs. This guy, he's got a goal of raising his fly ball rate from 42 to 50% this season and hitting the ball more right to right center field and walking more, and it's working. I like Jay Bruce a lot tonight if you're going to play daily.
We got today the Cincinnati Reds are in Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. No, psych. Taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pittsburgh,
I don't think you faked anybody out there.
Pittsburgh is the 190 favorite. 8 runs is the projected total. Towing slab for the Reds is Rookie Davis. He's not a rookie. His name is Rookie. Rookie Davis.
He is a rookie.
He is a rookie, and his name is
Rookie.
He's a rookie.
There you go.
Let me tell you, this guy was made
and
for me.
And towing the slab for the Pittsburgh Pirates is Jameson Taillon.
Taillon's, I'm looking at the night slate, and I think Taillon's the one guy that stands out to me. Probably stands out to everybody else as well. Rookie Davis, like you said, just look at the name. The Reds have been surprisingly good this year.
They've been decent to start the season, yeah.
But it's week one.
I like Taillon at 8,400. He's one of my top 2 picks on DraftKings tonight. You want to run any lefties out there from Pittsburgh against Rookie Davis, I'm fine with it.
All right, so here we go. St. Louis Cardinals at my Washington Nationals.
No banners.
135. Nationals are the favorite. 8.5 is the projected run total. My guy, Gio Gonzalez, toes the slab for my Washington Nationals.
No banners.
The other side, Lance Lynn, is pitching for the hated St. Louis Cardinals. Matt.
Well, I mean, Gio Gonzalez is another guy, when you, if you take the name away and just look at his stats, he's kind of like a... kind of like a National League Michael Pineda. He has very good, very good peripherals, the advanced metrics. But he's a guy I can't trust. You know, I don't know what I'm going to get from him. You know, he had that wonderful year like back in 2012, but it's always been helter-skelter for him. Lance Lynn, on the other hand, looked pretty good. So it's a tough matchup for him, though. I think the left-handed bats are stacked for Washington. I kind of really don't like either one in this matchup.
I
think there's some hitting opportunities here today. You know, lefties do well against Lynn, like Matt alluded to. Bryce Harper's 5,000. He's worth it. Daniel Murphy, 4,500. Adam Eaton had a good game yesterday. He's 4,100. Even Steven Drew is a punt play coming off a good game at 2,800. On the other side, Dexter Fowler is 10 for 20 lifetime against Gio with four runs scored, and he's 4,300.
All right. That is what's up. Milwaukee Brewers at Toronto Blue Jays. This game was in the very friendly confines of Toronto Blue Jay Stadium. The Sky Dome, right?
Rogers.
Yeah, the Rogers Center.
I always call it the Sky Dome.
Yeah, the Rogers Center. All right, so we got Willie Peralta pitching for the Brewers. Yes. J.A. Happ pitching for the Blue Jays. Toronto's a big favorite in this one. 9 is the projected run total, Matt.
I do like the over in this one. I mean, Willie Peralta had a great spring. He had a very nice first start, but I think that comes crushing down tonight. AJ Happ is Mr. Underrated. He doesn't get the respect that he deserves. He did give up a couple of runs the last outing, but I believe he struck out, 8 or 9 guys. I think there's a lot of runs scored. Maybe I'd gamble on Happ here, but I think the offenses will be out.
What do you think,
Scotty? I don't think the offenses are necessarily going to be out against Happ. I like him. This is a team that I think by default you go against. They'll have 6 strikeouts. I like Happ at 8,000 on DraftKings. Stack against Wiley.
What's Peralta, that noise? That's the ball leaving the ball.
Yeah, that's the ball coming off the bat. I like Troy Tulowitzki a lot tonight at 3,900. I especially like Kendrys Morales at 3,700 on DraftKings.
Well, do we know the status of Josh Donaldson for this game? Is he
going to
be?
He is. He said he's going to play Tuesday, but we won't know till later in the day. Everybody's going to go Colorado stack tonight. I would say I'd go with a Blue Jay stack.
This is why I avoid the Colorado slates, because I don't like to get involved with the Colorado stack. We're going to talk about
use a Blue Jay stack tonight.
We're going to talk about the. I'm just going to avoid the slate altogether, to be honest with you. I probably won't play. If I do, I'll see if they got
a. Do another one man mock draft.
Nah, you know what I'll probably do? You probably got. You see these last 3 games right here? This you got this 10 o'clock.
Do like a turbo?
Yeah, you got this 10 o'clock Rangers Anaheim. With a 10-10 Houston, Seattle, and then with a 10-15 Arizona, San Francisco, I'll probably get in on that.
Yeah. If I'm playing tonight, I want some Blue Jays action. No.
So there you go right there. When we come back, we continue to break down the slate, of course, for your daily fantasy baseball needs. The spot to be is dailyroto.com. Make sure you check them out. They do a great job over there.
Check out on rotoexperts.com the audio today of Mike Leone. Mike Leone actually finishing second in the Millionaire Maker in golf this week.
No doubt, Mike Leone. Shout out to him. 150K takedown. The guys at Daily Roto continue to get it done.
What's his phone number?
Be like that. Be like them. Subscribe to DailyRoto.com. Also, of course, make sure you get your Roto Experts exclusive edge package. Now we go into the end season part of it. You got the King. You got Kurtz. Florio, Stanford, the whole crew.
With his new statistical breakdown.
Not to mention the fact you also have the inside injuries, our buddies, Dr. A, insideinjuries.com. There's my skeleton right here. A lot of things going on. When we come back, we'll start to break down the situation in Colorado. Big night tonight. Jarrett Weaver in Colorado. The run total, I'll tell you this right now, is 12. We'll tell you where those runs are going to come from. When we return right here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Final segment of the Roto Experts in the morning. Thanks to the King, Scott Engel, for hanging out with us. He'll be with me for one more hour today. Scott Engel doing a ton of radio. Old School Fantasy coming up. George Kurtz getting ready right now. CTM Baseball, Matt Medica. Thanks for hanging out. Well, not really. You're here. You're a part of it. You know what I'm saying? CTM Baseball, Matt Medica. Give us a little bit of what's going on right now in CTM Baseball that the listeners can go to and check out.
Within the next week, I'm going to be redoing pitcher rankings and put out a thing on where I see people from this point on to the rest of the season. I think a lot has changed since, last month when we were doing drafts and auctions and all that good stuff. And, injuries that have taken place, who's worth looking at coming back. The David Price, the news keeps sounding good. Is it a good move? I mean, Drew Smiley, soggy arm and all. I mean, you let him go. I think that was the right move to make. When you're in a situation like that, you can't hold on.
All right, let's hit these two last 7 o'clock games. We got the Atlanta Braves and Bartolo Colon at the Miami Marlins and Dan Straley. Miami is the favorite. 8.5 is the total, Matt.
I did not like Dan Straley coming into this year. I picked him up last year. He did very nice in a difficult ballpark that really was should have been everything that was against him. He's a fly ball pitcher. I know he's in Marlins Park now. I don't like him this year. I think he's a 5 ERA pitcher. I kind of like Cologne tonight.
There you go.
I love JT Realmuto on DraftKings tonight. He has a 429 career average, and he's off to a hot start. 429 against Bartolo, and he's only 3,500. Very often don't go batter versus pitcher, but I thought it was worth noting here. I don't like Straley either. I think Freddie Freeman at 4,400 is a terrific play tonight.
All right, the Baltimore Orioles.
Also, Ender Inciarte at 3,600.
But the Baltimore Orioles and Dylan Bundy are in that disgusting Fenway Park taking on the Red Sox. Drew Pomeranz, that bum, is pitching for Boston. The Red Sox are the favorite, unfortunately. 9.5 is the run total. They're projecting some runs in this one. Matt, what's going on?
I mean, Bundy was terrific last week. Excuse me. He the swing and misses, the first pitch strikes. I mean, everything that we're hoping for from this kid. He's got a daunting task this weekend with two tough matchups. I'm really going to be keyed in to see how he does versus this Boston team. Is it something I'm going to – neither pitcher I'm going to be on. I'm going to, you know, watch to see how Bundy does, and let's see if the Boston offense could finally, you know, maybe get on track.
What yeah, think, this is not a game that I'm touching for daily purposes. Bundy maybe be lit up a little bit, though, and Sandy Leon for only 2,900 is somebody I think maybe you have to consider if you want to save some money at catcher. Mitch Moreland, it's hot right now, and he's 3,300.
All right, here goes the big carrot that's out there, the San Diego Padres, and that bum, Jarrett Weaver, traveled to Colorado to take on the Rockies. Antonio Cincizelia. Colorado's a big favorite at 170. The projected run total for this game, Matt, is 100. No, it's 12.
Yeah, and like Scott said, is that just for the Rocky? I mean, you know, it's going to be, I mean, I really don't know how to put it. I guess you got to just put as many Rockies in your lineup and you just stack this game to its fullest with Rockies and Padres. I think
everybody's going to do that, though. Can you win the tournament, I guess it's doing that, though?
Is it maybe that you have to go find some guys maybe more towards the bottom of the lineup?
Stack the 7, 8, and 9 hitters.
You know, some other guys that aren't, you know, everybody's going to have, you know, Charlie Blackman, Cargo. So maybe you look for some other options and mix that up. I mean,
I'm telling you tomorrow morning, if we come in here and this game is 2-1, is the final score of this game, I am going to blow a gasket.
I think if this game is 2-1, I think Twitter's going to break tonight.
Listen to these numbers. See, this was Weaver's velocity in his first start of the year.
78.
Four-seam fastball, 84.
Wow.
Two-seam fastball, 83.
Why are they pitching him?
Slider, 79. Curveball, 72. Changeup, 78.
Wait a minute. He's not going to be in the game long.
Put it this way. The fastball's got no velocity. The secondary, the off-speeds aren't going to break in Colorado. So, I mean, this should be like batting practice.
I guess when you talk about a 10-mile-an-hour difference, though, between fastball and curveball, when the curveball's 72.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. And like I said, nothing's going to break out there for him. He had quite a few.
Maybe the scoreboard.
You got to figure he's going to be ran out the game quickly, right?
It's either, you know, they either get rid of him quickly or they keep him in to take a little bit of a beating for the team. I mean, he's getting paid this year, so.
Take one for the team.
So sometimes you gotta go out there
and get that 12 ERA.
Our good friend Ron Cafferty, who's been with this show forever, said,
shout out to Ron.
Do you want to do a Miami stack in DFS? Bartolo, I don't think Bartolo is a guy I want to stack against necessarily in that ballpark.
I mean, I think I'd rather do, if Matt Kemp is playing, I'd rather do an Atlanta stack. But, I mean, if Miami does, you know, break out, but I'm definitely going the other way.
I think Bartolo can keep it beneath 4 runs.
All right, let's try to wrap up the slate. The Texas Rangers and my guy Cole Hamels are at the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Tyler Skaggs on the slab for the Angels. The Angels are the favorite in this one, a slight favorite. 8 points is the eight is the projected run total, Matt.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching this game for the Tyler Skaggs aspect.
Yeah.
I really want to see him step up. And, you know, a lot of people have high expectations for him. I do think he can be good. I'm just worried about his workload.
Texas and Anaheim, Scott.
I'm worried about his control, actually. He wasn't able to cut down the walks in the opener, but I think there's some significant upside. The way Nomar Mazara is hitting, I'd use him against anybody right now. The guy's got the most RBIs in the majors.
All right, we got the Houston Texans and Joe Musgrove at the Mariners.
Really?
Ariel.
The Texans?
I mean, excuse
Musgrove's
me.
Musgrove's playing quarterback?
The Houston Astros and the Seattle Mariners. Ariel Miranda for the Mariners. Joe Musgrove for the Astros. Excuse me. 8.5 is the projected run total, Matt.
I mean, I know everybody's been on Joe Musgrove as the, you know, the dark horse guy and all this. I think one of these games between these two teams has got to be like a 9-8 game. It's been waiting to happen. They've been playing each other for the last week. So I'm thinking at some point these two teams explode.
Yeah, I like Musgrove against a Seattle lineup that just started showing signs of life yesterday. Against Miranda, I think you got to like George Springer at 4,100. He's been on absolute fire so far.
Final game.
One second before you go to there. Nelson Cruz, I had 3 consecutive hits yesterday. He might be ready to burst.
All right, there you go right there. The Arizona Diamondbacks and Robbie Ray are in San Fran to take on Jeff Samardzija and the Giants. The Niners are... The Niners.
He really got football in
the Giants are the favorites in this game. 7.5 is the projected run total. What do you think, Matt?
I'm going to go with Robbie Ray tonight. He's at AT&T Park. He gets a little... gets away from his home ballpark. Mm-hmm. Hopefully to strike out.
9,200 tonight, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to take the chance with him tonight. Him and Jake Lamb versus Samardzija. You know, Jake Lamb's always, I always want to play Jake Lamb to begin with.
He's 400 against Samardzija.
And when he's going up against Samardzija, I mean, Samardzija's probably going to be like the last game. A couple innings he'll look unhittable, and a couple innings he's going to get torched.
Yeah, I like Matt tonight.
So there you go right there. That is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Thank you for rocking with us on our reunion program. Everybody that's passing over, like Greg Sussman, congratulations. I don't know. Shout out. Happy holiday.
Happy Pesach.
Happy Pesach. You know, old school fantasy coming up next. That means me and Scott will still be here. Matt Madika, CTM Baseball, thank you very much, sir. Good job today. We started to get to know Matt Madika a little bit better.
Thank you for that.
What I'm saying? So, Scott, you got your Matt jacket downstairs? That's a nice jacket. I like that.
Thank you.
Looks good. I would never put it on. But I like that, the way that blue and orange was popping right there.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a nice Matt hat, too. Nice. World Series patch on it.
Yes.
You need to get an 86 one so it could be a trophy on it.
You need to get a 96 Cowboys one then, too.
The Roto Experts in the Morning, Old School Fantasy coming up next. I'll be right here. I'm going to go use the bathroom, and I'll be right back.
Too much information.